seem like a hopeless place. A perfect picture of a hopeless case. Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in. Till it seems like every breath of hope has died. But hope is alive.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us, because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, sir.
Hey, good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings again from Oklahoma City.
And blessings from Laramie. And I know we've got a couple callers. I'll look forward to them, and I'll let you know when they call in.
All right. Thank you, sir. And we do welcome everybody this Wednesday evening. Join us for Hope is Alive. Hope is Alive is a show about testimony, program about it. And what is that testimony? The captives were set free. And how were they set free? By Christians operating their authority and the power of the Holy Spirit, casting out evil spirits, healing the sick, and doing all the supernatural works of Jesus that they were commanded to do in the gospel. All in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you have any questions regarding deliverance, you can go to deliveranceusa.com. Maybe you're not really sure what this deliverance is. Maybe you haven't tuned in much. Maybe it's first time listening. You think, well, what's this guy talking about? What's this crazy stuff? Casting out of evil spirits, laying on the hands of the sick. Yes, those are things Christians are supposed to be doing. And that's why we come on here, to testify to it being done and to glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. But you can find out more about deliverance at deliveranceusa.com. It's got self-deliverance on there, training, all the prayers that are mentioned, problem list, the door-closing prayer, the the breaking of ungodly soul ties. It's all there. Or if you prefer a book, you can get the book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that by calling Rich at the office at 307 742-7582. I think we ask a $20 offering for it. I'll get that out to you. It is a simple step-by-step manual to casting out demons, written by Pastor Cox, and it's just got a wealth of information. Pastor, here we are, another Wednesday. We did take last Wednesday off. We couldn't line up our callers. We couldn't get enough callers to come on, so we decided that we'll just wait. But that's all right. They gave us time to get some deliverances out of the way, some testimonies to testify to, and I'm glad to be back on this Wednesday evening.
Amen. And we had a great Monday night this last Monday. 17 came for deliverance and healing, and we had a minister for each person. So it was an exciting evening. Just one of those exciting evenings of doing the works of Jesus in his name that God commanded us to do, that Jesus told us to do. And we're all just amazed that we, little us, so to speak, can do such things. But that's what Jesus did. He commanded us in his name to do them. And then he gave us all the tools and weapons that we need to carry the mission out. Like Luke 10:19, where Jesus said, we have all power over the demonic and the promise that nothing will harm us. So we stand on that scripture, we use it, say it a lot, and it performs itself.
It does. And it's not any supernatural, it is supernatural, it happens, but it's not any super gift that you have to have or join a certain priesthood or have to fast for days upon days on end to do these things. These are just commands of Christians that said believers would do these things. And I'm a believer. I know you're a believer. I know a lot of people out there listening are believers. And if you're not doing that as a believer, in my opinion, you're not fulfilling the whole gospel. But, you know, that's just my opinion, because that's just from what I see right there in the scripture that we're to be doing these things.
Well, yes, Mark 16:17, Jesus commanded believers, we shall do these things, he said, in his name. And it didn't sound optional to me, the way he said it.
No, it didn't.
We are to be doing it, and the exciting thing is, all this is normal Christianity we're talking about, that any Christian can do set people free. And yes, on Monday night, we often comment, probably no one that comes has been fasting, probably not prayed up. It's just been another work day because we start at 5:30 on Monday evening. Yes, people come from work, and they get there, they're tired, and all this, and we go through this process. We learn to do these steps, and we speak the word, like that Luke 10:19. And as we get into ministry, the word performs itself, and, of course, the more anointing we can have, the better. But even without too much anointing, the word will still perform itself, which is really neat. And we find that the word goes forth to accomplish that for which it is sent. And amazing to witness all that.
It is. And you know, something I've been seeing, as I've told everybody here the last few weeks, I joined a deliverance Facebook group. And something I see in there that doesn't seem to be lined up too much with scripture is everybody talks about, oh, you better be living a completely sinless life if you're going to perform deliverance. You better be all prayed up. You better make sure you're called to do it. And I don't think that lines up with what I see in Scripture. Maybe it's just the way they were taught. But obviously, it's best not to be just running around in sin. But it's pretty hard for anybody to walk a day through the day without having some sort of sin come in their life. And the way I look at it is, if it's there and you know it's there, you just need to repent of it. And I don't see where the Lord expects us to be a perfect, sinless vessel to do these things. What I see,
and
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, and we find that many times a minister still is carrying a certain number of demons themselves. That's
yes.
Happened over and over through the years, and people after they just got through casting out demons from someone on a Monday night as a minister, and then they would come over to me afterwards and they'd say, I've been having some problems on this and that lately. Would you mind praying for me? And we'd go over in the corner, and this minister would manifest and demons would talk out of his mouth. And yet he just got through casting demons out of someone else. What's happening is he's still a born-again Christian, and as he speaks the word, it's performing itself. Hallelujah.
Yes,
we can drive
him
out anyway.
Well, we can. But what I'm kind of getting at with what I was mentioning here is you don't have to be Superman to do these things. You just have to be bought and purchased by the blood of Jesus. You have to be a believer in Christ, washed, walking in the gifts of the Holy Spirit helps quite a lot too. We have found, at least I have found from my personal experience, as you watch more in those gifts, the casting out of evil spirits is easier. But it isn't necessarily have to be one that speaks in tongues or has the gift of prophecy. It just has to have that anointing. That anointing is there, the Holy Spirit. And every Christian should have the anointing. I mean, we know right there what it tells us in Acts 2:38, when you're baptized in remission of sins, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And there's that gift there. So there's going to be some sort of anointing as you repent, believe, and walk in your power. So it's just something I wanted to mention to people listening on the show. Maybe they're tuning in, or they're listening for some time, and they're thinking, well, I just don't know if I could do that. Well, you can do that. You can. And how do I know? Because the Word says so. And that's why we have DeliveranceUSA.com right there set up, that website set up to help you. You can go down to the video, and it'll have self-deliverance. And while you do, you can watch the self-deliverance. You either do deliverance yourself, or it allows you to see how deliverance is done. So it's a type of training. And everything that was talked about that you need is there at the click of a mouse. You can go to the ministry tools and all the prayers, even the checklist is set up there. So you don't need to have to remember everything. It's right there. Here you are. You have people that have spent years and years doing these doing deliverances, and they have they've kind of done all the hard work for us. So checklist. You just got to follow it and say, okay, well, you got to remember to take them to the door closing prayer. Remember, we've got to break ungodly soul ties. We've got to make sure we fill out the problem list so we know which areas to tackle, and so forth and so on. And but it's not any supernatural anointing. It's just the anointing of the whole. Well, I shouldn't say supernatural. It is supernatural, but it isn't any special anointing that you have to have. If you're a Christian, you're commissioned to do these things.
Yes, I just think of how many people have come to the ministers, that is, that come on Monday nights, and they've had a really hard day at the office. They're pretty pounded down, and yet they come, and they get into ministering finally, and by the time the evening is over, they're totally pumped and energized. So we get an overhaul ourselves, even as a minister. Everybody's on a high, a spiritual high, when they're finished in the end of the evening.
Well, I'm convinced, too, as you lead someone through the door-closing prayer, you're speaking those things. And it's nearly impossible to lead somebody through the door-closing prayer and not be concentrating on it yourself and have things in your life say, oh, well, you know, as I'm going through this, I need to repent of that. Or, I haven't forgiven so-and-so. Or something to that effect, and as we have said before many times on this program, there will be times in my life, and I know Pastor Cox has too, and they'll start thinking about something or a situation that's happened, and you just think, wow, I haven't really forgiven that person.
Right.
And it's just so important to do that. And you know, Pastor, I came across this yesterday. It says, forgive others not because they deserve forgiveness, but because you deserve peace.
Yes, that's good.
And I like it. I like that. I think, I know, I see the thing behind it, but yeah, sometimes when we forgive, we allow the Holy Spirit to work in their life so they can get the forgiveness they do deserve. Because if they're a child of God, if they're one of His, then they deserve the forgiveness as well, because that free gift was for them as well.
Yes, so true. Yes, but, I see that is, over and over.
But the principle is, the only person you're holding in bondage when you refuse to forgive is yourself.
Everyone feels better after they've done forgiving.
Mm-hmm. And I know that I'd seen a call out lady who has been struggling with addiction, and she backslid and went on a binge. And one of the advice that I gave her was, I could tell she's repentant. And one of the things that I said was, everybody backslides. Everybody stumbles. Don't forget to forgive yourself. And that's real important in deliverance as well, is to forgive yourself. To forgive yourself for the things you've done. Because once we've gone to the Lord and forgiven and asked for forgiveness, He's already given it, granted it, and forgiven and forgotten. And it says plainly and clearly in Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. So if that is what the Word says, it's true. And if it's true, then you should be able to forgive you. You should be able to forgive yourself, because you can stand upon that promise that there's no condemnation in Christ, Christ Jesus.
Major. Because it blocks healing besides deliverance. It really blocks all the blessings we're supposed to have from the cross.
Amen.
Yes.
Hey, guys, we've got Connie on. I'll bring her on. Connie, welcome to the program.
Hello. Thank you
for joining us, Connie.
Hello.
Hi, Connie.
Hi.
Can you hear us okay?
I am doing wonderful.
Connie,
how
so
about
glad.
You?
Well, yes, we're all blessed. Ralph is on here with me up in the Branson area, and we're excited you've called in to give your testimony. So why don't you go ahead and give some history on yourself and when you were born again, what was going on in your life, and how you learned about deliverance, what your deliverance was like, and changes you've seen, and what you're doing today and actually ministering.
Well, I had an encounter with love, is what how I'm going to describe it, when I was a very young girl. I was between the ages of 4 and 5, and I just had an encounter with the Lord on a hillside in West Virginia one day, and I felt Him enter me. But I didn't know what it was. It was just this extreme feel of warmth and love and security, and that I knew everything was going to be okay. And then I grew up in the only church in the area, the very rural part of West Virginia, so it was a Baptist denomination. And I was having encounters with the Lord on a regular basis, but I felt like an oddball because there wasn't anyone else talking about that. And when I did, it was kind of always shut down. So I was blessed when I was 15 to move to South Carolina and was introduced to different denominations and other people who were having, you know, relationship with Christ and encounters with the Holy Ghost and different things like that. So I got baptized with my prayer language in a rainstorm in South Carolina and just grew rapidly with the Lord there and was really well discipled there and got a lot of foundation. I found out about deliverance. Deliverance showed up in my home, and I would have home meetings in my house, and I never really received any understanding of deliverance. That was not something that was ever really talked about. We did a lot of healing. Healing was talked about a lot, but deliverance, demons, those kind of things were never talked about much. Strongholds were never talked about much. And as I would have these home meetings, people would manifest. And I started doing some evangelism and street work, and people would manifest just through praying with them and talking about the Lord. There would be manifestations. So I had to pursue seeing what the Lord was doing with all this and what I needed to do to be effective. And so I sought training through Rams Ministries and William Sutter, and that just kind of fell into my lap. The Lord just kind of walked these ministries, as it is with this ministry, right into my lap. And started trying to develop a ministry connection. I moved back to West Virginia, tried to work with and encourage different ministers in the area to work with Deliverance with me, and they all felt the need, but were not able to manage that and didn't want to take on what they felt was increased warfare by doing that at that time. So I still was having difficulty finding a team to work with or people that I could count on to be there and fought with me if I needed them. So when I moved to Oklahoma 2 years ago, started just seeing what the Lord wanted me to do here, and your ministry came up in the radar, and so I came for Deliverance through your ministry. I had went through Deliverance during training with Rams Ministries, and so during the training that you're there, everyone goes through Deliverance in the middle of the training as a group Deliverance, but I had not had personal ministry. And so coming to Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City was the first time I had personal one-on-one deliverance, and that was just beautiful. So I had a lot of closure in my life. I'd had a lot of trauma growing up. My mother had committed suicide when I was 4. My grandpa had committed suicide when I was 10, and I had visualized both of those, unfortunately. So I had a lot of trauma, a lot of family issues, a lot of abuse issues growing up. And knew the word said that there's divine power to demolish strongholds. And I felt strongholds still on me with depression, with the spirit of death over me at times, worried about my mental health because of family history, those kind of things. So I knew that there was some things that I needed to work on. And that's what I did when I came to Deliverance Ministry in Oklahoma City, was get closure completely on those issues. And it was nice to have somebody walk me through that. I think it's a benefit to, no matter how long we've been in ministry or doing ministry, to still have a brother and sister in Christ to walk us through some things. And that's kind of where I'm at right now, with still learning on a daily basis more and more. It's unending and it's beautiful, and that's what's going on.
Well, Connie, going through the training as you have, and of course continuing, we're all in training, but you're ministering now. Do you can you share some of the cases you've had?
Yes. I've had so many beautiful, every experience is beautiful and every experience is different, but so many people come. I guess, you know, more recently I've had some that have come with other family members, and they've had Deliverance before, and they think that everything was okay. But then as they go through, as they're sitting through the group part of Deliverance at the beginning, they realize they might still have some areas. And I think that that's beautiful when you realize the Lord still has something for you, and that there's more deliverance and healing that he has for you. And those are the sweet things to me. I love seeing the ones who are so broken and dark and struggle with forgiveness, and being able to minister to them and let them understand, refusing to forgive is actually denying your own freedom, and ministering and getting them to understand the value of the blood of Christ and what that means and what he has already done for us, and that he is our refuge and our savior, and actually grabbing onto that horn of salvation that it seems like, unfortunately, so many people in the body of Christ are unaware is even available. It seems like they've been blinded and think that it's just part of life to be under bondage and oppression, that this is just a normal repercussion of life. And yes, we live in this world, but it's not going to conquer us. The Lord comes to set us free from those things. And speaking from a background of going through, you know, horrible trauma and horrible situations, you know, the Lord does not want you to stay locked and bound by those experiences. He's here to set us free.
Yes, and the inner healing that we do at Deliverance Ministries is not done with every deliverance ministry out there, it seems, but
right.
It is such a major step Yes. Certainly with some people, it's the most major step of the whole evening going through those traumas. Have you had some interesting cases on that?
Well, absolutely. It's most of the time, by the time I get through breaking off the ungodly soul ties, and I think that that's something that people don't quite understand. They think that you have to sever a relationship to be free of the ungodliness in it. And so many people are a little confused with that. So explaining what that really is helpful, that you can have active relationships in your life that there is ungodliness in, and you have to walk in a state of forgiveness and understanding the steps to do that. So once they've gone through breaking off the soul ties and you show them how easy and simple that is, and that, you know, it's just like healing. We walk daily in healing. We walk daily in divine health. We walk daily in staying free from demonic oppression and the darkness of this world. So by the time you walk them through breaking the ungodly soul ties and going through the inner healing and going through traumas that they've went through in their life, there's not much deliverance left at that point, honestly, because most of it starts breaking off while you're going through those steps. And it's just taking time and allowing people, to really focus on all that they felt at that time, the feelings that they had, the emotions that they had, and just really giving it to Christ, really releasing it to Christ and helping them make a prophetic act of doing that, of handing it to the Lord, is such a freeing thing. You can just see age coming off of people. You see darkness coming off people. One of the things that I like to do that's not, you know, that we don't use as part of the training is if they have a cell phone, I ask them to take a selfie of themselves before we get started, if they are comfortable doing that. And then I ask them to take another one when we're done, and I have them compare the picture right there so that they can see the difference, how much younger they look, the shine that's on their face. They came in darkness and depression and oppression and looking much older than they actually should, and they leave free, and they're lighter, their visual countenance is different, and it's just a blessing for them to have those pictures so that they can remember, I was this, but now here I am this. You know, the Lord set me free tonight in just a few hours.
Oh, that's a great idea, Connie, to have them take a picture of themselves. We've always marveled over it, and we talked about that.
Yes.
But I never had got around to having anybody, everyone having cell phones, just go ahead and have them take a picture of themselves first, because most of them come in.
Yes, and I love it, and I encourage them to do that. I tell them, you know, when you're going into a great conference and you're expecting and you know the Lord's going to give something to you, take a picture of yourself before you go into the conference, and then take a picture when you're done. You'll literally see the glory of your Lord shining from your face. You'll see your countenance change, and that's just the Word, and I think that that's a nice thing to have, you know, that somebody can actually, we get to see it. We're blessed to see it on every night that we're there, but I want them to have a representation of that. This is what God, you can physically see this. You not only feel it, but you can physically see it.
Well, yeah, the changes are major in most every case. They look younger. Their faces look softer, fewer wrinkles even. And some people even lose weight, we found through the years, not in every case, but some have reported losing weight in the ministry session. So that's a great idea. I never thought of having them do that with their cell phone. I'll have to do that. But, yeah, you're right that demons leave in all these steps. And by the way, on the soul ties, I try to tell them, you know, we're keeping the godly soul ties. We're just canceling out any ungodly soul ties. And therefore, it's a safe prayer to do with anyone, because everyone wants to keep the godly ones. So that sometimes helps. But, we keep seeing demons leaving. Some demons leave in the door-closing prayer, we've learned. Some additional demons leave in the breaking of ungodly soul ties, and then more demons leave in dealing with the trauma door and the traumas of the past and the inner healing, and to where sometimes there's not that many left when we actually get in the deliverance step.
And I will say that, you know, the beautiful thing about the training that we have here with you, Everett, is the door closing prayer, because Unfortunately, I didn't have that in my previous experience, and it was just always a mess, like vomiting everywhere and people manifesting. And, you know, every once in a while, I still will have somebody, you know, throw up, but that's very, it's not like every time when it, like it used to be. So I'm appreciating that. Let's clean up on aisle three.
Yes.
So the door closing prayer is just beautiful, and I, you know, I wish everyone that worked in deliverance ministry, you know, knew of that prayer, because it is so powerful and so effective that, you know, we start with that and we see less of the, you know, the things that turn so many people away from deliverance. And then, you know, the really understanding how to shut the demons down if they do start to manifest and get a little out of control, which is, you know, a great blessing. And I think that if more ministers had, you know, a testimony, a witness to that, that they see that, that that's effective and it's not messy, it's not out of control like that, then they would not be as hesitant to enter in. And the body of Christ, you know, it's not just ministers, we're all supposed to heal and deliver the sick and afflicted and demonically oppressed. So I think that, you know, there's nothing to be scared of. And
you probably noticed, Connie, our ministry has never held anybody. The angels hold
right.
them. You know, sometimes demons will tend to get violent. We all
mm-hmm.
see it on occasion. And we've never had sergeant of arms to hold people. Rather, we
right.
call on the angels to hold them, and we get to see it happen.
That is such a vast uh-huh. contrast to how I was trained up, because we had a ministry team of five people. If optimum, we wanted five people in with every deliverance. And so there were people assigned to read the word, and there were, you know, people who knew that if it got violent, this was how, who was going to hold what. And, you know, we were trained not to hurt people. We knew how to hold them without causing any physical damage to them. And keep them from injuring themselves or us. But we don't have to do any of that with the deliverance mini here, because the, you know, the angels get involved. So I was a little hesitant when
yeah.
I first started working in OKC with you guys, because I was used to having a team with me. There was a lot of times I ministered because I didn't have a team. I had to minister by myself. But when we were doing it the way we were trained to do it, there were five people. So when I first came to OKC, I was like, okay, now. He's going to be my backup if I need backup.
So yeah,
it was new.
Well,
I was used to doing it in my home by myself, but that's a big, you know, when I did it in my home, I was doing counseling with people, and it was several days of slow counseling and discipleship and breaking things off slowly versus a one-nighter. So I was challenged when I came and a little puckered up on what was going to happen, because I was used to such violent deliverances. At times when it was a full frontal attack in a one-time session, instead of the ones I was doing at the house where it was slow and we just slowly processed through it. So it was just them and I. So I do appreciate everything I've learned here in OKC. It's been just a beautiful, beautiful experience. And I'm so blessed that we have, for me, who does a lot of street evangelism and works with a lot of physically sick and mentally sick patients, it's a blessing for me to have somewhere that I can tell them every Monday night, regardless, go sign up on the website, go to delmin.org, sign up and show up at 5:30. So I have somewhere I can refer people to, which has just been such a blessing to me, and other people that I can contact and talk to about things and chew things over with and talk about our experiences and glean from each other as the body of Christ is supposed to. So it's just been a completely beautiful gift.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that, Connie. In the minute remaining, have you gotten into the head demon technique yet?
Yes, I have. I worked with one of the ladies there who's very proficient, Jen, one night, and yes, and I've had two successful experiences with that. And I love that when it happens, because it's just a beautiful experience for them and for me, because the people can hear what the demon is saying or demons are saying, and they hear so many beautiful things during the whole experience, because I like to ask about any physical strongholds they have on the person, anything that they're there, any giftings they're there to block. the lies that they've been telling the person. And, of course, the person can hear as this demon is talking and saying all this, so they get a complete interview that's nothing of me and nothing of them, just this thing that's telling them all the lies they've been told, all the things they've been blocking, and then, you know, so that's just a beautiful experience. I don't always get them to come up, but when they do, I just get really excited. I love it.
Yes, and it's very efficient, that head demon, like you say. You can find out a lot of things that might have been missed. Well, we're out of time, Connie. That was a wonderful testimony. We covered a lot of ground there. Praise God.
God is good. God is good.
Thanks for calling in. God bless.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you guys. Bye-bye.
Have a good evening.
Bye-bye.
I really like that idea of getting someone to take a selfie before and after.
Yes, that's a good idea.
That would be a good idea. Richard, I didn't get the text after she came on, so whenever Chris is on, please let us know.
All right, he is on now. Chris, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi, thanks. Glad to be here.
Yes, Chris, thank you so much for calling in. Ralph is on here with me. This is Chris Davis, Ralph, who I know you've met before.
Yep. Yes, I know who he is.
Chris.
Yes.
Chris, go ahead and give some history on yourself and when you were born again and what was going on in your life, how you learned about deliverance, what your deliverance is like and changes, and about the adventures you're into today.
Well, wonderful. Okay, well, I like to tell people, I like to start out with my testimony sharing what I call is, you know, a 15-second elevator ride story. You know, basically just sharing, you know, highlights of my life, you know. So I like to share that, you know, I was a colonel in the Air Force and, you know, was director of logistics, a pilot, and, you know, just some things that I was really interested in and did well at. But, you know, but then I also like to go in and start at the beginning of how I was raised. And so, you know, when I was growing up, the first memories that I had in my life were, unfortunately, were me being beaten in the crib. And so I grew up under a heavy hand, a young father, and I just remembered always being afraid of my father. And when he would come home, I would, as a little boy, remember running and hiding behind the curtains and was always so fearful of him because I had to act a certain way. I had to be perfect, and I couldn't have any, you know, I don't know. It just seemed like anything would set him off, and he would be angry at me and would cause him to spank me. And this went on through my entire young adult life. And so I didn't grow up knowing what it was to have unconditional love from a father. I didn't know, you know, so I was always worried that, you know, that I had to act a certain way to receive a certain emotion back. And so, you know, that really skewed me growing up. And it also, but it also in me, built me, I just learned that I had to strive for things. You know, I was, you know, at an early age, I had to, if I wanted anything, I had to work for it myself. And so, you know, at the earliest young ages, I was seeking odd jobs around the neighborhood and throwing newspapers and cutting brush and things like that because I would, you know, because I wanted a bicycle and I wanted to, you know, be like my friends. And so, you know, I had a tough time in my young years and actually had a physical altercation with my dad when I was 17. I got kicked out of the house for a short while and just because I wasn't following every rule and letter to the T. So, you know, I went directly into the military straight out of high school, and I served in the military for 30 years. I retired in 2018. So then, you know, the next chapter of the story was I got married at the age of 23. We had trouble having children, so we ended up adopting my first daughter. Then we went on to have two biological children. We were married for 18 years, but on my last deployment, in the military and was gone out of country for about 7 months. And my wife, unfortunately, found another man. She fell in love with another man. I came back home to an empty house. And so that was a curveball that, you know, no one could really expect. And I really just, although I was raised in the church, my mother and my grandmother were really a pivotal role in my life and always steered me towards church. So I was saved at a church camp at the age of 12. And so, you know, I had the foundations. I had accepted Christ at the age of 12. But then as I, you know, I didn't really walk out the Christian life as the Bible would have us do. And at the, so, you know, here I am at, after 18 years of marriage, and I'm going through a really nasty, ugly divorce, and I find myself just falling back into the world and just really a horrible time of my life, and find myself doing all kinds of things I never thought I would do. And I just remembered having these conversations with God where I was upset with God. I was upset with how was he allowing these things in my life to happen. And you know, I started to dive back into his word and trying to find answers. And I remember going through what I would call, and many call, the dark night of the soul, where, you know, it was just really Satan was trying to sift my life and sift me, and just to cause everything possible to go wrong in my life. My health started to decay rapidly. I started having horrible events, two car accidents within a matter of 4 months, severed my Achilles tendon. I mean, if it wasn't one thing, it was another. And I just found myself at the end of my bed, night after night, just crying out to God, why me? Why this? Why? And so I came to the point where I just remembered crying out to God, said, God, if you're there and if you're for me, would you just bring people into my life who will guide me into truth and show me the way? And it was the very next day that he started to bring people into my life. And one of my friends got my attention and said, hey, there's a man that I'd like you to meet. And I set up a time for you to meet with him. And I come to find out it was Everett Cox. And when I went there, it was for Deliverance Ministry. And he had scheduled a time for me to set with Everett and ran me through Deliverance. And, you know, Everett has, you know, three ministry steps, basically, that he walks you through: the breaking of ungodly soul ties, inner healing, and then working out the problem list. And so that's what he did with me. He walked me through all those three simple steps. And, you know, for me, basically, forgiving my father from that early age and just everything, all the feelings I had ever felt, you know, of anger and hurt and bitterness and resentment and feelings of abandonment and betrayal and just leading me into forgiveness, to where I was able to fully forgive my father, not only as an adult, but the child, you know, those traumatic injuries and memories that I had as a child, the child in me able to forgive my father. And then doing likewise with my ex-wife and forgiving her and you know, just really understanding what Paul was talking about in scriptures, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and rulers of this dark age. And so starting to see that I'm called to love every person, and that sometimes, most and more often than not, it's just spirits that we're wrestling with. And so, you know, going through Deliverance and finding new freedom, and I was raised in a denomination that really didn't tout on what the Holy Spirit does in our life, that he comes as a comforter, that he comes with power. And so I didn't know of the power of the Holy Spirit. But when I went through Deliverance And Everett led me in a prayer of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as the scriptures say that there is a reference to two baptisms, that you're baptized with water and then you're baptized in the Spirit. And so I received this baptism in the Spirit. I received the gift of speaking in tongues, and I just had this encounter where the presence of God showed up in my body, came in and through me with warmth and tingling, and my hands felt like they had fire in them. And that night changed me forever. So, so much so that I started just sharing with boldness and courage everywhere I went about my encounter with deliverance, but more so about the saving grace of Jesus. And just being able to witness like I have never been able to do in the past. And so I just continued. I started going there to receive training in how to do deliverance. And Everett and the staff there, you know, have a facility where we can go every Monday night and we can receive training and do fellowship with other members of deliverance in the body of Christ, and we take communion together, and it was really helping me heal and actually to see myself as how God created me, how I was able to see through now with through the mind of Christ, with the eyes of Christ, hearing through the ears of Christ, and it just changed me, who I was. So with now with that new knowledge and starting to practice, you know, the things that Jesus refers to in the scriptures, you know, like John 14:12, you know, I say unto you, anyone who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. And just so teaching me and showing me what that meant in the scripture and how I could come along and help other Christians who are being tormented by evil spirits, that, you know, that will be tormented in their body and in their mind and their will and their emotions. And, you know, how it says that in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, but our spirit is secure in Jesus Christ, and able to come alongside other Christians who are hurting and literally cast out a lot of what they're being tormented with, and doing inner healing with them. And so that really started to change my life. I started just volunteering more and more of my time for ministry. And then I went on a mission trip to South Africa with my pastor and just really saw firsthand with my own eyes, praying for people, miracles happen, blind eyes opening, deaf ears opening, and getting to witness just hundreds of people receiving Jesus Christ through testimony. And so after having that experience, I came back and I really just started walking a new life and praying for people wherever I go, in the marketplace, in the grocery store, in parking lots, through drive-through windows, and seeing the power of God come on people and answering their prayers, and just really developing, as I sought God with more and more passion, just to know his ways, to know who he is, and just to enter into a relationship, a personal relationship, where he can guide me. And so that's what I've been working on for going on 5 years now, and I now travel with my pastor, and we now will help in showing others how to do evangelism, showing others how to pray, and how the Lord will give you words of knowledge, how he'll give you prophetic words, and so really doing those things and teaching. But then also, you know, I've seen so many miracles wherever we go. We'll pray for, and I'll share a couple of events that happened recently. So just a month ago, we went to New York for a week, and then we followed that with going to Chicago for a week. And we prayed for many people, and I remember in each city praying specifically for a woman who had, she was a nurse, she had already been to the doctor, already had all kinds of scans in her body completed and done, and she says, I have a tumor in my right breast, and also it was traveling up, starting to go towards her neck, and as she asked for prayer, and I started to pray for her, after several minutes, probably about 5 minutes, and laying hands on her shoulder and just praying that, you know, all pain would go, healing would flow, and I cursed the root of that tumor, and I suspected it to be cancer. I cursed cancer, and I commanded it to die and go to the feet of Jesus, and then I also did the same thing. So surprisingly, I had another woman in Chicago ask me for prayer, and she had the same thing. And so I also had discernment to ask the question, was there anyone you needed to forgive? And I said, I think it's with a sister or a mother. And this woman said, yes, I can't stand my sister. I actually hate her. And so I explained to her how unforgiveness just causes all kinds of negative effects to happen to our body. And so walked her through a forgiveness prayer for her sister, and just asking Jesus to take all that anxiety away, as he talks about in 1 Peter 5:7, that to cast all our cares upon him because he loves us. After doing that and praying for her, she also felt this painful tumor that she had in her, the breast area. She felt it leave, and she actually says, "I feel an absence here." So I prayed for her for Holy Spirit to come and fill that void supernaturally. And then after a moment or two of praying like that, she goes, all the feeling is returned back to normal. And so a month has gone by, and I received a video testimony of the woman that I prayed for and report in New York that had, that she actually had gone back to the doctor, had the scans re-ran, and she came back to share as a praise report that there was no more tumors, no more evidence of any tumor or any health issues in her body, that she was as if she was new. And so she was just praising God that she had been healed, and so this is what I've learned by just praying for people wherever I go, is that Jesus loves people, and he wants to show him his love. And so when we as Christians just reach out and take that risk, because, you know, it is a risk, because it will feel awkward, it will feel uncomfortable. You know, the enemy wants to keep you from doing good, as Paul has written in Scripture, saying, every time I intend to do good, I find it a law that evil will be nearby, and that evil will be trying to say, you can't do this. It's not going to be effective. In all these lies. But once you push through that, and, you know, we like to say that faith is spelled R-I-S-K, risk. Like when you go through the risk and you just maybe risk a moment of embarrassment, maybe you risk, getting something wrong or not seeing anything happen. But even at the worst case, if that is what happens, like, you still were obedient, you still tried to reach out as Jesus asked us to do. And so by just, you know, keeping that that method, I've been able to come alongside hundreds of people. And so this is not bragging on me. I don't want to draw attention to me. What I'm trying to draw attention to is that when we walk a lifestyle of following Jesus and letting him guide our lives, and how we can help the people around us, our neighbors, our sphere of influence at work, people we come across in the marketplace, that Jesus is the one who will do the work. All we have to do is be obedient. So, you know, my story has just really been one of just total life transformation, where, you know, as I said, I spent decades in the military and had never lived a lifestyle like I do now. And I've never been more fulfilled than when I'm doing ministry and helping others and just coming alongside them. So in a nutshell, yes, that's kind of, you know, what has happened in my life, and would like to ask if you had any questions.
Well, Chris, you've come a long way since the Air Force, that's for sure. Praise God. What a high adventure in seeing the Lord, yeah, use you that way and people healed. And in just a few seconds remaining, what else would you say to the people before we wind up here, about 30 seconds?
Yeah, so I would say to any of the listeners out there, if you are being tormented by, you know, the thoughts of not being good enough or just bad relationship issues, to reach out for ministry, whether it's through Deliverance Ministries. They have, you know, we have an online website at www.delmin.org. But there's also all kinds of ministries that will help you. But most of all, importantly, pray that God would bring people into your life to guide you into all truth, just as I did, because he was so faithful and he did that, as his word says, we have not because we ask not. So reach out to our Heavenly Father and just ask for what you need.
Amen. Chris, that was an awesome testimony. Wonderful.
Yes.
Thanks, brother,
yes,
so much for sharing with us tonight.
Thank you so much.
God bless you.
God bless
Bye-bye.
You.
Have a good Bye-bye. Evening, Chris. If you're looking to walk in liberty, to walk in freedom, maybe you're not having that freedom or liberty that we should have in Jesus, consider Deliverance. DeliveranceUSA.com is the website. Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus is the book, written by Pastor Cox. Obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. Let him know you like that book, and he'll certainly get out to you. We do thank everybody again for taking this Wednesday evening their time out to join us. Always a pleasure to be on here with you, Pastor. God bless, and we'll see everybody next week.
God bless everyone.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
ooh, and to overcome, ooh, all the power of the enemy,
ooh, to overcome. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
ooh, and to overcome, ooh, all the power of the enemy,
ooh, to overcome. Nothing
will harm you,
nothing
will harm you.